Chapter 3. No, indeed, Papa. Apostrophe, and so another time the dreadful little snapping pug dog, next door, made a rush at one of the young princes as he stood on the steps coming home from school, and terrified him out of his wits, and he put his hand through a pane of glass, and bled, bled, bled. When the 17 other young princes and princesses saw him bleed, 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 they were terrified out of their wits too, and screamed themselves black in their 17 faces all at once. But the Princess Alicia put her hands over all their 17 mouths, one after another, and persuaded them to be quiet, because of the sick queen. And then she put the wounded prince's hand in a basin of fresh cold water, while they stared with their 2x17 are 34, put down 4 and carry 3, eyes, and then she looked in the hand for bits of glass, and there were fortunately no bits of glass there. And then she said to 2 chubby-legged princes, who were sturdy though small, bring me in the royal rag bag. I must snip, and stitch and cut and contrive. Apostrophe. So these 2 young princes tugged at the royal rag bag, and lugged it in, and the Princess Alicia sat down on the floor, with a large pair of scissors and a needle and thread, and snipped and stitched and cut and contrived, and made a bandage, and put it on, and it fitted beautifully. And so when it was all done, she saw the king her papa looking on by the door. Alicia. Apostrophe. Yes, papa. Apostrophe, what have you been doing? Apostrophe, apostrophe, snipping, stitching, cutting, and contriving, papa. Apostrophe, where is the magic fishbone? Apostrophe, apostrophe, in my pocket, papa. Apostrophe, I thought you had lost it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh, no, papa. Apostrophe, or forgotten it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, indeed, papa. Apostrophe. After that, she ran upstairs to the Duchess, and told her what had passed, and told her the secret over again, and the Duchess shook her flaxen curls, and laughed with her rosy lips. Well, and so another time the baby fell under the grate. The 17 young princes and princesses were used to it, for they were almost always falling under the grate, or down the stairs. But the baby was not used to it yet, and it gave him a swelled face and a black eye. The way the poor little darling came to tumble was, that he was out of the Princess Alicia's lap just as she was sitting, in a great coarse apron, that quite smothered her, in front of the kitchen fire, beginning to peel the turnips for the broth for dinner. And the way she came to be doing that was, that the king's cook had run away that morning with her own true love, who was a very tall but very tipsy soldier. Then the 17 young princes and princesses, who cried at everything that happened, cried and roared. But the Princess Alicia, who couldn't help crying a little herself, quietly called to them to be still, on account of not throwing back the queen upstairs, who was fast getting well, and said, "Hold your tongues, you wicked little monkeys, every one of you, while I examine baby." Apostrophe, apostrophe. Then she examined baby, and found that he hadn't broken anything, and she held cold iron to his poor dear eye, and smoothed his poor dear face, and he presently fell asleep in her arms. Then she said to the 17 princes and princesses, "I am afraid to let him down yet, lest he should wake and feel pain. Be good, and you shall all be cooks." Apostrophe. They jumped for joy when they heard that, and began making themselves cook's caps out of old newspapers. So to one she gave the salt box, and to one she gave the barley, and to one she gave the herbs, and to one she gave the turnips, and to one she gave the carrots, and to one she gave the onions, and to one she gave the spice box, till they were all cooks, and all running about at work, she sitting in the middle, smothered in the great coarse apron, nursing baby. By and by the broth was done, and the baby woke up, smiling, like an angel, and was trusted to the sedatest princess to hold, while the other princes and princesses were squeezed into a far-off corner, to look at the Princess Alicia turning out the saucepanful of broth, for fear, as they were always getting into trouble, they should get splashed and scalded. When the broth came tumbling out, steaming beautifully, and smelling like a nosegay good to eat, they clapped their hands. That made the baby clap his hands, and that, and his looking as if he had a comic toothache, made all the princes and princesses laugh. So the Princess Alicia said, "Laugh and be good. And after dinner we will make him a nest on the floor in a corner, and he shall sit in his nest, and see a dance of 18 cooks." Apostrophe that delighted the young princes and princesses, and they ate up all the broth, and washed up all the plates and dishes, and cleared away, and pushed the table into a corner, and then they in their cook's caps, and the Princess Alicia in the smothering coarse apron, that belonged to the cook, that had run away with her own true love that was the very tall but very tipsy soldier, danced a dance of 18 cooks before the angelic baby, who forgot his swelled face and his black eye, and crowed with joy. And so then, once more the Princess Alicia saw King Watkins the First, her father, standing in the doorway looking on, and he said, "What have you been doing, Alicia?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, cooking and contriving, Papa. Apostrophe, what else have you been doing, Alicia? Apostrophe, apostrophe, keeping the children light-hearted, Papa. Apostrophe, where is the magic fish bone, Alicia? In my pocket, Papa. Apostrophe, I thought you had lost it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh, no, Papa. Apostrophe, apostrophe, or forgotten it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, indeed, Papa. Apostrophe, the king then sighed so heavily, and seemed so low-spirited, and sat down so miserably, leaning his head upon his hand, and his elbow upon the kitchen table pushed away in the corner, that the 17 princes and princesses crept softly out of the kitchen, and left him alone with the Princess Alicia and the angelic baby. What is the matter, Papa? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am dreadfully poor, my child. Apostrophe, have you no money at all, Papa? Apostrophe, apostrophe, none, my child. Apostrophe, is there no way of getting any, Papa? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no way, apostrophe, said the king. I have tried very hard, and I have tried all ways. Apostrophe, when she heard those last words, the Princess Alicia began to put her hand into the pocket, where she kept the magic fish bone. Papa, apostrophe, said she, when we have tried very hard, and tried all ways, we must have done our very, very best. Apostrophe, apostrophe, no doubt, Alicia. Apostrophe, when we have done our very, very best, Papa, and that is not enough, then I think the right time must have come for asking help of others. Apostrophe, this was the very secret connected with the magic fish bone, which she had found out for herself from the good fairy Grandmarina's words, and which she had so often whispered to her beautiful and fashionable friend, the Duchess. So she took out of her pocket the magic fish bone, that had been dried and rubbed and polished till it shone like mother of pearl, and she gave it one little kiss, and wished it was quarter day. And immediately it was quarter day, and the king's quarter's salary came rattling down the chimney, and bounced into the middle of the floor. But this was not half of what happened, no, not a quarter, for immediately afterwards the good fairy Grandmarina came riding in a carriage and four peacocks, with Mr. Pickle's boy up behind, dressed in silver and gold, with a cocked hat, powdered hair, pink silk stockings, a jewel cane, and a nosegay. Down jumped Mr. Pickle's boy, with his cocked hat in his hand, and wonderfully polite, being entirely changed by enchantment, and handed Grandmarina out. And there she stood, in her rich shot silk smelling of dried lavender, fanning herself with a sparkling fan. "Alicia, my dear," apostrophe said this charming old fairy, "how do you do? I hope I see you pretty well. Give me a kiss." Apostrophe, the Princess Alicia embraced her, and then Grandmarina turned to the king, and said rather sharply, "Are you good?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, the king said he hoped so. I suppose you know the reason now, why my goddaughter here, apostrophe kissing the princess again, did not apply to the fishbone sooner? Apostrophe apostrophe said the fairy. The king made a shy bow. Ah, but you didn't then? Apostrophe said the fairy. The king made a shyer bow. Any more reasons to ask for? Apostrophe apostrophe said the fairy. The king said, no, and he was very sorry. Be good, then, apostrophe said the fairy, and live happy ever afterwards. Apostrophe, then Grandmarina waved her fan, and the queen came in most splendidly dressed, and the 17 young princes and princesses, no longer grown out of their clothes, came in, newly fitted out from top to toe, with tucks in everything to admit of its being let out. After that, the fairy tapped the Princess Alicia with her fan, and the smothering coarse apron flew away, and she appeared exquisitely dressed, like a little bride, with a wreath of orange flowers and a silver veil. After that, the kitchen dresser changed of itself into a wardrobe, made of beautiful woods and gold and looking glass, which was full of dresses of all sorts, all for her, and all exactly fitting her. After that, the angelic baby came in, running alone, with his face and eye not a bit the worse, but much the better. Then Grandmarina begged to be introduced to the Duchess, and, when the Duchess was brought down, many compliments passed between them. A little whispering took place between the fairy and the Duchess, and then the fairy said out loud, "Yes, I thought she would have told you." Apostrophe Grandmarina then turned to the king and queen, and said, "We are going in search of Prince Certain Personio. The pleasure of your company is requested at church in half an hour precisely." Apostrophe so she and the Princess Alicia got into the carriage, and Mr. Pickle's boy handed in the Duchess, who sat by herself on the opposite seat, and then Mr. Pickle's boy put up the steps, and got up behind, and the peacocks flew away with their tails behind. Prince Certain Personio was sitting by himself, eating barley sugar, and waiting to be 90, when he saw the peacocks, followed by the carriage, coming in at the window. It immediately occurred to him that something uncommon was going to happen. "Prince," apostrophe said Grandmarina, "I bring you your bride." Apostrophe the moment the fairy said those words, Prince Certain Personio's face left off being sticky, and his jacket and corduroys changed to peach bloom velvet, and his hair curled, and a cap and feather flew in like a bird and settled on his head. He got into the carriage by the fairy's invitation, and there he renewed his acquaintance with the Duchess, whom he had seen before. In the church, were the prince's relations and friends, and the Princess Alicia's relations and friends, and the 17 princes and princesses, and the baby, and a crowd of the neighbors. The marriage was beautiful beyond expression. The Duchess was bridesmaid, and beheld the ceremony from the pulpit, where she was supported by the cushion of the desk. Grandmarina gave a magnificent wedding feast afterwards, in which there was everything and more to eat, and everything and more to drink. The wedding cake was delicately ornamented with white satin ribbons, frosted silver, and white lilies, and was 42 yards round. When Grandmarina had drunk her love to the young couple, and Prince Certain Personio had made a speech, and everybody had cried, "Hip, hip, hip, hurrah!" Grandmarina announced to the king and queen that in future there would be 8 quarter days in every year, except in leap year, when there would be 10. She then turned to Certain Personio and Alicia, and said, "My dears, you will have 35 children, and they will all be good and beautiful. 17 of your children will be boys, and 18 will be girls. The hair of the whole of your children will curl naturally. They will never have the measles, and will have recovered from the whooping cough before being born." Apostrophe, on hearing such good news, everybody cried out, "Hip, hip, hip, hurrah!" Apostrophe, apostrophe again. "It only remains," apostrophe said Grandmarina in conclusion, "to make an end of the fishbone. apostrophe, so she took it from the hand of the Princess Alicia, and it instantly flew down the throat of the dreadful little snapping pug dog next door, and choked him, and he expired in convulsions. Part 3. Romance. From the pen of Lute. Cole. Robin Redforth, age 9. The subject of our present narrative would appear to have devoted himself to the pirate profession at a comparatively early age. We find him in command of a splendid schooner of 100 guns loaded to the muzzle, ere yet he had had a party in honor of his 10th birthday. It seems that our hero, considering himself spited by a Latin grammar master, demanded the satisfaction due from one man of honor to another. Not getting it, he privately withdrew his haughty spirit from such low company, bought a second-hand pocket pistol, folded up some sandwiches in a paper bag, made a bottle of Spanish licorice water, and entered on a career of valor. It were tedious to follow Boldheart, for such was his name, through the commencing stages of his story. Suffice it, that we find him bearing the rank of Captain Boldheart, reclining in full uniform on the crimson hearth rug spread out upon the quarter deck of his schooner the Beauty, apostrophe in the China Seas. It was a lovely evening, and, as his crew lay grouped about him, he favored them with the following melody. O landsmen are folly! O pirates are jolly! Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.